Welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to explore a pretty radical shift in, well, who our digital workspaces are actually built for.
Right. And we're looking at a really fascinating essay by a software engineer who recently had a massive epiphany about this exact shift. I mean, they actually stopped writing most of their own code.
Which is just wild to think about. I mean, an AI agent does all the typing now.
Yeah, exactly.
But, we aren't here to talk about basic AI productivity or like how fast the code gets written. We are exploring the underlying structure of the workspaces themselves.
Because that's where the real revolution is happening.
Right. So to really grasp why this matters, I want you to imagine for a second that you are sitting down at your desk to start your workday.
Okay.
You boot up your computer, you open your digital workspace, and suddenly you realize you have absolute 100% amnesia.
Oh, wow. Total blank slate.
Total blank slate. You have no idea where your files are. You don't know what a folder labeled MIST v2 actually contains.
I feel like we all have a Miss V2 folder somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. And like you have zero memory of that conversation you had yesterday with your manager about why the quarterly report needs to be formatted in that one highly specific, totally undocumented way.
Right, the unspoken rules.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every single time you log in, your memory is wiped clean, and you just have to relearn how your entire company operates by, well, just looking at the file names on your screen.
I mean, that sounds incredibly stressful. And if we're being honest, completely paralyzing.
You'd never get anything done.
No, you would spend your entire day just trying to decipher the unwritten rules of your own desk.
Exactly.
And, well, the source material we are diving into today argues that this exact scenario is happening millions of times a day right now, but not to humans.
Right, to the AI agents writing our software.
Exactly. The essay is titled, "Your Codebase is an API for Agents Now." And the core premise is this complete paradigm shift.
Like a total reversal of how we think about files.
Right. Because for decades, a software repository was essentially a set of living documentation for human beings. You know, humans who stick around for years.
Right, people who learn the ropes.
Exactly. But this author realized that the repository is no longer just a passive record for people to read. It's an active interface that an AI agent programs against.
Okay, let's unpack this concept of memory because the author uses a really specific phrase that I think anchors this whole idea. They talk about how human engineers amortize ambiguity.
Yes. That word amortize is so key here. It highlights the hidden, often unappreciated superpower of human memory in a workplace.
How so?
Well, let's say you join a new engineering team. You're looking through the files and you see a folder with a weird, vague name. The author actually uses the example of a folder simply called Utils 2.
Right, just utils too, no context.
Yeah. As a new human hire, you're naturally confused. You might spend a whole afternoon digging through that folder, trying to understand what random utilities are stored in there.
Or you might just, tap your coworker on the shoulder and ask.
Exactly. But the key mechanism here is that you only pay that cost of confusion one time.
Right, once you know, you know.
Exactly. From then on, the knowledge is stored in your brain. Next year, when you see Utils 2, it costs you zero time to process.
Because you remember it.
Right. You have effectively amortized or, spread out the initial cost of that ambiguity over the entire length of your employment.
Okay, I get it. It's like having a brilliant new hire start every single morning, but they suffer from that Groundhog Day amnesia we just talked about.
Yes, exactly like Groundhog Day.
You have to completely retrain them on all your company's unspoken, quirky rules every single time because they forget everything the second they clock out.
Right, because an agent has no head to store it in. It starts cold every single session.
So you'd spend your entire day just explaining the inside jokes and the hidden rules of the filing system over and over.
And that means the cost of ambiguity is no longer a one-time fee. It becomes a recurring tax that you pay on every single interaction.
Wow, a recurring tax.
Yeah. We often refer to this as tribal knowledge, right? The things everyone on the team just kind of knows intuitively but never bothered to actually write down.
Like the manager's formatting rule.
Exactly. That
Yeah.
used to be a minor inefficiency for a human team. But in the era of AI agents, tribal knowledge is the single most expensive thing in your repository.
Because the tribe forgets between every single session,
You nailed it.
which leads to the author's new golden rule for shipping code. They call it an acceptance test for the AI era.
Right, the acceptance test.
Yeah. Before they approve any change now, they ask, would a fresh agent session, given only this repository, converge on the correct understanding and the correct next change?
It's a really high bar.
It really is. If the answer relies on like a Slack thread from 3 months ago or a teammate's memory of why a file was named a certain way, the repository actually has a bug.
Even if the code runs perfectly, even if all the software tests pass, the workspace is structurally broken for its new primary maintainer.
Because the AI doesn't have a brain to store that old Slack thread in.
Exactly.
So if the agent can't rely on memory, the layout of the workspace has to do the heavy lifting,
It
right?
has to do all the heavy lifting.
We have to design the environment so the right answers are glaringly obvious just by looking around.
Yes.
And this naturally leads to the author's realization that a code base actually exposes three distinct layers of rules, or APIs, to the AI agent.
Right. The three APIs.
So let's start with the first one, which they call the navigation API.
The navigation API is essentially the directory layout, the folder structure.
Okay.
What is crucial to understand here is that long before the AI agent reads a single line of actual code, the folder structure is already telling it a story.
A story. What do you mean?
Well, it dictates where things live, what part of the business owns what, and where the agent should logically navigate to make a requested change.
Okay, to make this concrete, the author provides a really specific example of a highly effective navigation API.
Right.
They describe a file path like features billengine calculate invoice.ts.
Yeah, and think about how much context is packed just into that file path alone.
It's a lot.
It is. It tells the MDSHACK agent exactly what part of the business owns it. Billing.
Right.
It implies that it's pure logic by using the word engine.
Oh, I see.
And the ETS at the end stands for TypeScript, which signifies to the agent that this is a raw logic file.
So it knows exactly what to expect before even opening it.
Exactly. It strongly suggests the agent shouldn't be messing with visual user interfaces or making random network calls to the internet from inside this file. The agent infers all of those boundaries just by reading the address on the door.
It's like finding a physical file in a cabinet labeled 2024 taxes receipts.
Yep, perfect analogy.
You don't need to read every single receipt to know exactly what belongs in that drawer.
Exactly. But there is a flip side to this. The author also points out a terrible navigation API.
Oh, right, the bad example. They use a file path like sarscomponentsdashboard.tsx.
Anyone who has built modern software will recognize the dreaded dashboard file.
Why is it dreaded?
Well, the .tsx extension typically means this file is supposed to render a visual user interface, like a web page component.
Okay.
But the author points out that in reality, a file like this often ends up fetching database records, computing pricing rules, rendering charts, and checking user security permissions all at the exact same time.
Oh, wow. So it's doing everything.
Everything. The file path actively lies to the agent. It says, this is just a visual component for the dashboard, when it is actually half the application's core logic crammed into a single massive file.
Okay, wait. Let me push back on this a little bit on behalf of everyone listening who works in a fast-paced environment.
Sure, go ahead.
Whether they write code or just, manage a massive shared company, Google Drive, aren't messy folders and catch-all documents just a reality of moving fast?
Well, yeah.
I mean, when you are under a deadline, you don't always have time to perfectly categorize everything. Sometimes you just need a dumping ground to get the project shipped.
I get that. And if you are relying on human colleagues, human nature allows for those shortcuts.
Right, we can figure it out.
Humans can intuitively sift through a messy miscellaneous folder and figure out what matters.
Exactly.
But when you apply this to AI agents, I need to address the listeners directly here. Those vague folders are navigation APIs that return pure garbage.
Pure garbage.
Yes. If you have a folder named MISC or a document called Dashboard, its very name gives the AI agent no structural reason not to dump more random disconnected code into it.
Because the agent doesn't know it's a messy shortcut born out of a deadline.
Exactly. It just sees a rule that says miscellaneous things go here.
So it just adds to the pile.
And here's where it becomes catastrophic.
Oh boy.
If you ask an agent to change a pricing rule, and that rule is buried on line 1500 of a 2000-line dashboard file, the agent has to read and comprehend all 2000 lines just to find the one rule.
That is a massive amount of context to hold.
It is. And under that massive context pressure, the AI model gets confused. It starts to hallucinate.
Ah.
So instead of carefully integrating the change, it just appends the new rule to the very bottom of the file, making the tangled mess even worse for the next session.
So the directory layout, the navigation API, gets the amnesiac worker into the right room.
Yes.
It tells it where to go and minimizes the noise. But, okay, once it opens the door to that room, how does it know which items on the desk it's allowed to pick up?
Right. And that brings us to the second layer, the constraint API.
Here is where it gets really interesting.
It does. This API dictates the actual rules of engagement. What is the agent allowed to do? What other files can it talk to? And what is the exact shape of the data as it moves between different parts of the system?
And the danger here lies in what the author calls the implicit contract.
Yes.
An implicit contract being a rule that exists only in the collective memory of the team, not written down anywhere the machine can actually read it.
Exactly.
For non-coders, I imagine this is like an undocumented order of columns in a monthly financial CSV file.
That is a perfect parallel.
Like, everyone in the accounting department just knows you never swap the revenue and tax columns because it breaks the macro someone wrote 3 years ago.
Yes, exactly. And the author uses the example of an event name in the software, something like user.updated, that is just typed out as a plain text string across 11 different disconnected files.
Oh, I see.
A human developer might remember, oh, if I change the name of this event here, I need to remember to go manually update those 10 other files too, or the whole system crashes.
But the amnesiac AI agent has no way of knowing that.
None.
It can't see the invisible threads connecting those 11 files.
It can't.
So if the invisible rules are the problem, I'd imagine the fix is forcing the agent to read, like, a comprehensive company rulebook before it types anything.
You'd think so, but a rulebook is a human solution. And agents are notoriously bad at perfectly following long lists of text instructions.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The mechanical fix is that the boundary must be visible and machine checkable within the code itself.
Meaning what exactly?
Instead of typing the plain word user.updated everywhere, you create a shared, locked constant that the agent is forced to import. You use strict types and schemas.
Okay, and just for clarity, a schema in this context is essentially a rigid digital template, right?
Correct. A schema is a strict mold.
Okay.
If the agent tries to pass data that doesn't perfectly fit the mold, maybe it misspells a property or forgets a required field, the computer instantly rejects it.
It just blocks it outright.
Exactly. The mantra here is contracts over tribal knowledge. You have to use these rigid digital templates because it's the only way to keep an agent from breaking connected systems it can't physically see in its current session.
Okay, so we've got the agent in the right room using the navigation API.
Right.
And we've put up physical guardrails using the constraint API so it doesn't break things.
Yes.
But we all know AI models hallucinate. They can be confidently wrong.
Very confidently wrong.
So how do we prevent the AI from essentially grading its own homework? How do we ensure the final product is actually correct?
That is the role of the third and final layer, the validation API.
Okay, the validation API.
This is entirely about verification. An agent cannot be the judge of its own work.
Because it's biased.
Exactly. If an AI writes a piece of code believing it was the correct solution, asking that same AI to reread its own code is just going to confirm its own biases.
Right.
It will overfit to its own initial assumptions and confidently declare victory, even if the code is fundamentally flawed.
It's exactly like proofreading your own essay. You read what you meant to write in your head, not what is actually printed on the page.
Perfect analogy.
So how do we solve this? Do we just have a second different AI model and check the work of the first one?
Having a second AI check the first introduces yet another layer of interpretation and potential hallucination.
Ah, right. It could just hallucinate a passing grade.
Exactly. The author's solution is much more rigid. It's a deterministic command.
A deterministic command. Explain mechanically how that stops the hallucination.
A deterministic command strips away the AI's ability to interpret entirely. It's a single automated script, usually triggered by typing something like make verify or PMPM verify into the terminal.
Okay.
This command isn't run by the AI. It's run by the unfeeling operating system of the computer itself.
Oh, what?
It automatically runs all of the software tests, checks all those strict schemas we just talked about, enforces the architectural rules, and comes back with a crisp, unambiguous pass or fail.
It essentially locks the AI out of the grading process completely.
Yes, completely. It separates the entity that writes the change from the entity that certifies the change.
That makes total sense.
The author points out that done stops being a fuzzy feeling and becomes an exit code.
An exit code.
Yeah, an exit code is a raw binary signal from the computer, usually a literal zero for a pass and a one for a fail.
Oh, wow.
The AI doesn't get to argue with a zero or a one. The repository itself becomes the impartial judge.
Wow. You know, if you're listening to this and wondering if you have to go back to school to learn some alien AI architecture to survive the next decade, don't panic.
Definitely don't panic.
Because this leads to what I think is the most relieving part of the author's essay. after outlining all of this rigorous structure navigation APIs, rigid schemas, deterministic validation checks, the author realizes none of this is actually new.
This is the ultimate reframe.
So what does this all mean?
Well, the author was waiting for this new architecture for AI agents to require some bizarre alien shape that we'd never seen before.
Right.
But it doesn't. The structure that makes a repository perfect for an amnesiac AI agent. Pure logic files, explicit boundaries, clear naming conventions, one command verification, is exactly the structure that was always best for a human engineer joining a team.
We always knew we shouldn't have giant, messy dashboard files.
Yes.
We always knew we should document our CSV column orders and not rely on tribal knowledge.
We always knew this was the optimal way to build systems.
So why didn't we?
The difference is simply that in the past, human teams had what the author calls slack.
Slack, like wiggle room.
Exactly. We had the slack to cut corners. Because a senior developer could hold the missing, messy structure in their head, they could act as human duct tape.
Human duct tape. I love that.
They could quietly compensate for the bad navigation and constrained APIs and keep the project running despite the underlying mess.
Because humans are naturally built to absorb messiness and infer context.
Right. But machines, no matter how advanced the language model is, are fragile without explicit structure. The agent removes the slack entirely.
It just breaks.
It does. The messiness that a strong human team used to just quietly absorb over months now shows up as a critical project-halting bug every single session because the agent operates at such a blazing speed and with zero long-term memory.
That is fascinating.
But there is a really empowering takeaway here regarding control.
Oh, really? What's the takeaway?
Well, the AI model itself, whether you are using a model from OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, whoever, is essentially rented.
Right, you don't own it.
It improves on its own schedule, updated by researchers in a lab somewhere. You have no control over that.
Yeah.
But the interface, your repository, your folder structure, your validation commands is entirely yours to design.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
The cleaner the interface you build, the smarter your rented AI agent will appear to be.
Not because the AI model magically got better overnight.
Exactly. But because you stopped forcing it to navigate your undocumented chaotic mess on every single interaction.
That is such a powerful shift in perspective.
Mm.
To summarize this journey for everyone listening, we're really talking about a fundamental shift in how we view the places where we work.
Absolutely.
We have to start treating a shared digital workspace, whether that's a code repository, a project management board, or, you know, a corporate cloud drive,
yeah,
as a passive record of what we built for humans to casually browse.
Yes.
We have to treat the workspace itself as an active API. It needs clear navigation, strict constraints, and rigid deterministic validation.
We can no longer rely on human memory and the slack of tribal knowledge to fill in the gaps.
And this connects so broadly to everyone listening. I mean, even if you never write a single line of software code in your life, this structural shift matters.
It really does. We are all moving into an era of AI assistance.
Yeah.
Whether you're organizing marketing assets, drafting legal briefs, or managing a global supply chain, the era of, ambiguity is dying.
It's totally dying.
You're increasingly partnering with these brilliant, tireless workers who possess absolutely perfect amnesia. We have to proactively design our systems for them, not for us.
The death of, you know what I mean? It really makes me wonder about the unintended consequences of all this.
How do you mean?
Well, think about it. If interacting with AI agents forces us to become perfectly explicit, logically structured, and totally stripped of all that unspoken tribal knowledge in our digital workspaces,
yeah,
how long until that expectation bleeds into our human-to-human communication?
Oh, wow. That is a thought.
Right. Well, we start subconsciously expecting our human coworkers to provide perfectly explicit machine-readable APIs for how we interact with them.
Imagine asking a colleague for a favor and getting frustrated because their response didn't pass your deterministic validation check.
Exactly. It is a wild thought to mull over the next time you're trying to explain an undocumented, convoluted process to the new person in the office.
Or the next time you boot up your computer, stare at a folder called Miss V2 and realize you have absolutely no memory of what's inside.
So true. Well, thank you all for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been great.
We'll catch you next time.